is what the letter said. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear their own sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Holy One, by the power of your Spirit, we invite you to inspire our hearts, to help guide the living of our days, and to help us be your living hope in this world. Bless us in our time this moment, O God, so that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth will bring glory unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let me begin by saying I really struggled with this text. I struggled with this text for a lot of reasons, not just the reading of the text itself, not just the names of all the people involved in this text, but this text in general, right after last Sunday, where we celebrated 14 new members into the household of faith, where we brought our commitment cards and celebrated our commitment as disciples to this household of faith. And here I have this word, thus says the Lord, this morning. And I also struggle with it, I must say. I just struggle with praying for the welfare of the city in which you find yourself in exile. There's lots of reasons why I wrestle with that. There's lots of reasons why I think that we should rise up or do something about that exile and not just deal with it. But in Jeremiah's story, in this moment, in this letter, God is encouraging the people to be the living hope in the land which they now find themselves in. A land that is not familiar, a land in which they don't want to be. They want to be back in Jerusalem. And the word of the Lord is coming to them, telling them to be prosperous in this new land, and pray for the welfare of the city, for in its welfare you will find yours. I am encouraging you to be a living hope, people of God. You see, up to this point, Jeremiah was a prophet of doom. Up to this point, Jeremiah was, I cannot say Jeremiah without remembering that song. My mother, when I was a child, we had an 8-track. Have you ever seen one, Drew?
No.
We had an 8-track of Three Dog Night, and Jeremiah was the Bullfrog was a song that we sang over and over. It was one of the only 8-tracks my mother owned that we liked. She also owned Tennessee or whatever. She owned a lot of religious music, and this was the only one that wasn't religious, so we sang it over and over. But this prophet Jeremiah, up to this point, was trying to get the people to live the way God had intended, and they just weren't getting it. Over and over and over again, he warned them. Over and over and over again, he tried to tell the people, you are called to the chosen people to be a blessing in this world, to bless others, and they just weren't doing it. And they just weren't getting it. Now they find themselves in exile in Babylon, this foreign land where they don't want to be. And Jeremiah brings them another word from God and says, you are to be a living hope right where you find yourself right now. And we'll find yourself for the next 70 years, but we won't go there right now. You're to be a living hope in the place where you are. I can't help but acknowledge, and I can't help but make a connection from this text to the political landscape in which we now find ourselves in. What does it mean to be disciples and make the best of Babylon? What does it mean to be disciples and be people of a living hope In the midst of chaos and uncertainty, in the midst of a landscape that we just really do not like, no matter where you fall, how are we to be disciples that are a living hope in the midst of this election season? In the midst of this time of divisiveness and division, you are called to be a living hope. I am called to be a living hope. What does that mean and what does that look like? And what does it mean for me to pray for the welfare of the city? What does it mean for me to pray for the welfare of the people, like I said to the children, that I might not even care for that much? What does it mean for me to pray for the people that I vehemently disagree with? And let me tell you, Facebook is a hot button of prayer if I ever saw one. Over and over and over again, there are words of cruelty and hate. How am I to be a living hope, and how am I supposed to pray in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that turmoil, asking God for love and peace and the shalom of all people? So that's what I think Jeremiah is speaking to today. So as I was doing some research, I came across this prayer from Ruby Bridges. Ruby She crossed the line over and over and over again in the 1960s and heard words that were so cruel and hate-filled. And yet, she told her teacher one day that she had asked God to forgive the people in the crowd. And this was her prayer. Please, God, try to forgive those people, because even if they say bad things, they don't know what they are doing. So you could forgive them, just like you did those folks long ago. These timely words of prayer from an innocent, wiser heart than mine speak volumes to me about what it means to be a disciple. I don't think Jeremiah, well, I don't know about Jeremiah, but I am not telling you that God doesn't believe there's times that we need to rise up, because there are times we need to rise up. There are times that we need to be courageous, like this child's heart. We need to be courageous and stand up for things that are wrong, stand up for what is right, and seek the welfare of people in our city. But even in the midst of being in Babylon, even being in the midst of uncertain situations, in the midst of struggle, not just in the moments of celebration, because it's easy to pray when we're in moments of celebration. It's much harder to pray when we're in moments of struggle. It is for me. I find myself most distant from God in those moments where I am where I don't want to be. Those moments where I'm uncertain of what's going to happen next, and God is still calling me to be a living hope. This happens every time you're reappointed as a pastor. Every time you're reappointed, you're in a new landscape. You're in a new place. You're in with new people, and all you seek to do and be is living hope. And in all that messiness of trying to figure out new folks in the midst of all those times you step on people's toes, God's with us. And I think that's what the scripture is telling us today, that God is with us in the moments of celebration and in the moments of struggle. And that when we pray for one another, we indeed find our own sense of peace. I'm going to keep praying for my relative on Facebook, because it does my heart a whole lot of good when I pray for my relative on Facebook. And thanks be to God, we live a state away. But how do we pray? And how do we live as people of hope? Right now, right here, this moment. Not tomorrow, not a living hope that we're waiting might happen by the grace of God, but being living hope because of you and me. Being living hope because that's what God calls us to be in the midst of celebration and in the midst of struggle. That's how disciples make the best of Babylon. Amen.